Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Hardline. Kevin Hardwick here. Let's switch it up. I want to thank my first hour guest again, Chris Horvatitz from Channel 4, along to help me question Michael Crocker, the new executive director of Unshackle Upstate. Second hour today, when putting together a second hour, I really, obviously, I didn't know what was going to happen yesterday. I had an idea that Judge Kavanaugh was going to get confirmed, would get sworn in, but, anything could have happened. So I said, let's put together a panel. And the original thought was we'd invite the doctors in to analyze the events of the week and speculate as to where it was going after that. So Dr. Tim Callen is here as one of the doctors. But the other doctor, Dr. Brian Polliner, had better things to do today. He couldn't bring himself to come back to the studio. So I said, well, who am I going to invite now? Well, I said, let's get the view of the common person. And again, as I've said before, I know no more common persons than my friends, Bob and Susan Gregg. So I welcome them. Now, we should say that Bob is an artist. Award-winning artist locally, and Sue actually works for the county legislature as my legislative aide, as I've said many times, and it is true, she does all the work that I take all the credit for. So welcome back, everybody.
Commonly speaking, thank you,
guys. Yeah, commonly speaking, the common man. So anyway, the events. Tim, before we went on, you were talking about the number of people that came out yesterday and the number of protesters and the engagement in this. And it was like, we haven't seen this before, to the, both to the Senate chamber yesterday to try to disrupt the proceedings from the gallery and then in front of the Supreme Court later. Record numbers, and you were marveling at that. And I guess my question to you is, I guess to all of you is, would you have seen those numbers? No, let me phrase it this way. Wouldn't you have seen those numbers regardless? I mean, you saw, even before the whole sexual assault allegations came forward, you had protesters in the hearings trying to disrupt the confirmation hearings anyway. And it's just because this is a swing vote. It's historic. It's been decades in the making. I mean, you go back all the way to the Warren Court, very liberal in the 60s. Conservatives have been and Republicans have been waiting for this day for a long time. Democrats have been trying to stop it. And that's why there was so much disruption at the original hearings. And it only got worse after sexual assault allegations came out. Wouldn't you have seen those same about the same number of people in front of the Supreme Court yesterday demonstrating against Kavanaugh, regardless of the allegations, Tim?
I don't know. Certainly we see a level of civic engagement and protest and communication and people talking about politics at a level now that perhaps we haven't seen in decades. In other words, Robert Putnam, as you may recall, sociologist from Harvard, 25 years ago, penned his journal article, which became a book about bowling alone, talking about a lack of civic engagement, that Americans weren't participating
not joining
in bowling
teams,
or Kiwanis
yes.
clubs, or Rotary
or
clubs.
Other, yes.
They didn't know their neighbors. They didn't sit on their stoop or on the porch and talk to people anymore. And lamenting the reduction in civic engagement more broadly around the country. And I think for good or bad, and there's reasons for both of it, The feeling of Americans since the 2016 presidential election has mobilized millions of Americans, I think, to talk about politics, to think about government, to attend rallies, protests. Again, for good or for bad, that we haven't seen maybe arguably since Vietnam. I don't know. I
mean, so are you suggesting it might be prudent for me to go invest in a bowling alley?
Are you a member of a Kiwanis or Rotary Club?
No. But that thesis was, and bowling alone was a nice title. You know, the fact that we don't, you know, we don't get together again. Although we do get together on the internet, and that's in many ways right. worse than seeing people at the Rotary or the Bowling League or whatever like that. What, Bob Gregg, what's your take from yesterday? Do you think that you would have seen just as many people demonstrating regardless of the sexual assault allegations? Well, or did they add something to it? Did they put those demonstrations on steroids?
I think they put I think the crowd was more vocal than large. You know, I don't know about record numbers. I saw the footage. You know, the obviously they were well prepared. You know, there were pre-made signs. You know, the graphics were not something you'd knock off on your home computer. You know, once again, you mentioned Vietnam. There were certainly big protests in Vietnam era. I'm not sure about the numbers, but they were certainly pretty vocal. You know, so you know, I think it probably would have been the same amount of people. No matter what happened in the court.
Susan, your take on yesterday's events?
I think you would have had the same with or without the sexual charge. The Me Too movement came out, and whoever Trump, because they don't like Trump, whoever Trump would have nominated, they would have protested. They were protesting Kavanaugh way before this came out. It's just, it's good that people protest. Just like I tell my daughter, it's great that they get involved, but make sure you have your facts straight and pick your arguments. Because if you come out all the time, constantly anti, as we've seen, you lose the sting after a while because people are expecting you to come out and protest against it.
We're talking together or today to a panel. You got Dr. Tim Callen here and Bob and Susan Gregg. If you hear something and you want to weigh in, and again, this hour is going to be kind of hopefully therapeutic for many of us. It's going to be kind of debriefing on the events of the week, the confirmation and the swearing in of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, everything that went heretofore, and everything that's going to happen next, including the midterms. You know, there are this, regardless of the effect, there is no denying that what happened in this confirmation is and will have an impact on the midterms. Depending on who you talk to, however, that effect is different. You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting is that the enthusiasm gap, Tim, between the Democrats and Republicans, which was huge, and that's why many people were predicting this, not just a blue wave, but a blue tsunami. That gap seems to have been closed, and one of the reasons people are citing is because of the way things have gone with the Kavanaugh hearings, that it's awakened a lot of conservatives, and now they may be coming out to vote also in November. How do you see the effect of yesterday's vote?
Well, certainly the political pundits are all saying that Republicans that were unhappy with the president, unhappy with Mitch McConnell, or various policies or issues, based on the uproar over Judge Kavanaugh and the sexual abuse allegations, thinking is that those people that were perhaps going to stay at home or not open up their checkbooks.
Do you think now that they've won, however, now that they've won what they've sought for decades, that there may be more of a tendency to lay back, where certainly the Democrats and the liberal groups are nasty. They're mad. They're fighting mad.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, I mean, what I saw over the last couple of weeks was this narrative or this thinking, including the president saying this in campaign style speeches he was giving across the country, was emphasizing how critical it was to get Judge Kavanaugh confirmed. Almost as though everything that Congress does, everything the president does from a policy standpoint, was being subjugated and wasn't as important as getting this fifth seat on the Supreme Court. And understandably, you know, Judge Kavanaugh, you know, is on the court for 25, 30 years, which he very reasonably could be based on his age. You clearly have a situation now where a Republican president, like some past Republican presidents in the past, nominated who they thought were conservative Republican jurists.
Well, then when they got turned out to be anything but.
Turned out to be middle of the road, often voting with the liberals on the court on certain social issues. And I don't think there's any signs of that this time. But
they've been more careful in their selection.
Absolutely. As your good friend Bob from Canisius, you know, the Federalist Society have done their due diligence. with Judge Kavanaugh. I do think that Democrats and liberals and progressives, whatever you want to call them, are riled up. And if only for the fact that they think that if they can take the House of Representatives, they can impeach Judge Kavanaugh if further information comes forward about him in the future.
Yeah, that is a crazy scenario. I mean, it's out there. I can't imagine that happening, but you never know. Listen, we're going to take a quick break now, but for the rest of this hour, for the rest of the program until noon, we'll be talking about Judge Kavanaugh and the confirmation, everything that went before and everything that's going to happen as a result, the fallout, if you will. Joining me are Dr. Tim Callen and Bob and Susan Gregg, my good friends and very, very common people. I can attest to that. And we would like you to participate also. If you'd like to get in your 2 cents, give us a call here. 803-0930, 803-0930. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back to Hardline. This is Kevin Hardwick, joined today on my panel, talking about the events of the past week and the fallout from the Kavanaugh confirmation and where things go from here, midterms, etc. If you want to weigh in, please do. But I'm joined in studio by Tim Callen, Dr. Tim Callen, and Bob and Susan Gregg. We all have our thoughts, but I really want to hear yours. So 803-0930, the number to call. Let's go first to Ed in Buffalo. Ed, thank you for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Ed.
I got to get a few things off my chest.
Ed, I hope this is therapeutic for you and a lot of other people.
It's going to have to be for everybody. Here's my point. Our founding fathers created a wonderful system, the Supreme Court justice being one of them. And way, in my opinion, what they envisioned years and years ago, when President Obama suggested a nominee, Mitch McConnell got his way. He didn't allow that man to even be talked to, nothing. For over a year, you had justice systems 4-4. Okay, now Justice Kavanaugh got put in by the senators. Were the senators listening to a retired Supreme Court justice the other day? Were the senators really paying attention to the attorneys across this country? Were the senators allowing the FBI to have a full week of investigation? Mm-hmm. I know it's not a criminal trial. I understand that. But you got over 40-some people wanting to report things to the FBI. They couldn't reach the FBI. Whose fault was that? And now to see Kavanaugh make a statement saying what goes around comes around, you better believe it. Because in the long run, some kind of justice has to prevail as far as other candidates who could have been interviewed but weren't. And I'd like to know why and what's the real reason President Trump really wanted him and him only. And I'll hang up and listen to your...
All right, Ed. Thank you for putting all that on the table. Ed hangs up. You can have that line at 803-0930 if you call now. Simple one-word answer to Ed's question, politics, yes? I mean, he talked about Merrick Garland. He talked about the Senate, the confirmation process. I mean, it's not Democrat politics or Republican politics. It's just politics in 2018 in general. Isn't that, Bob, where we are now? I mean,
yeah,
this is politics.
I think so. You
can no longer pretend that this process is devoid of politics. All we're doing is trying to figure out in the confirmation process whether these justices are fine, upstanding people.
Right. You know, when the politics entered it, then it got nasty, because they did seem to split that room of the hearing, and then a lot of the commentators on television were talking about Democrat, Republican, and I thought it was always the best man for the job.
And the focus wasn't on 100 senators. It was on the two or three that may cross over.
Correct.
I mean, one from the Democrats crossed over and one from the Republicans crossed over. But there were a couple of other on both sides that may have gone either way. I mean, Sue, when we talk about the politics of this thing, I mean, it's not like this has happened overnight. I mean, you can go back to the Reagan administration and the Bork nomination, yes? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's been coming on for some time. And the fact that this is the swing seat now, this is the seat that will tip the court conservative, it makes it that much more political.
Everybody knew in 2016 during the presidential campaign that this was going to be an issue, that there would be seats that are going to be appointed by the president, the new president.
Yeah.
It was an issue all during the campaign.
Elections matter.
Elections matter. There's a professor somewhere who always says elections have consequences.
I've heard someone. Well, I think there's more than one professor, but certainly I've said that on numerous occasions. Tim,
you had Democratic senators this week as part of their talking points late
right.
this week. The narrative changed
Go out and vote in the midterms.
And people don't vote and then they sit back and complain.
Yeah, I normally the losers in this actually do better at the polls, you know. And I think that's going to probably happen this time. I think there won't be the blue tsunami we were talking about months ago because of, I think, Republicans were awakened by this whole thing, but I think some of them will go back to sleep, and it's the Democrats who are really mad, and their base will come out.
I'm not convinced that it's going to change the Republicans to come out to vote. Everyone thinks this is going to help the Republicans, and it may, but I don't know.
It's tough. Tim, briefly before the break, and then we'll get to some more phone calls after the break. If you're online, please hold. I was fascinated. I heard most of the speeches by the two Republican women, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. And they were both very interesting, and they walked through everything. I think they both saw the sexual assault allegations as, in the end, they were troubled by it, but it was a he said, she said sort of thing. Where they differed was on whether Kavanaugh will be a partisan on the court. And I think Murkowski was especially offended by his opening statement a week ago when he basically said, this is the Clintons, this is so-and-so. I mean, and, you know, you talk about the Supreme Court justices being the analogy we use is an umpire in baseball calling balls and strikes. This is almost like an umpire in baseball wearing a Red Sox hat.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Senator Murkowski also had some concerns by Native Americans in Alaska on policy mm-hmm. reasons in Judge Kavanaugh's prior decisions.
But I think she was okay on them.
The temperament issue of his tirade, as some people have characterized it, and the anger that he showed is something we don't expect jurists to show. They may feel that privately. But we don't expect to see certainly candidates for the Supreme Court or Supreme Court justices showing that level of vitriol and responsiveness. And the comments to Senator Amy Klobuchar, you know, when she asked him if he'd ever blacked out, and he turned it around, didn't answer the question, and then said,
yeah,
did you ever black out?
I've said on numerous occasions that Clarence Thomas was just as angry and just as indignant, but he wore it a lot better. I think that, you know, if you look at what he did, again, it's understandable. You're upset. These allegations, you're saying they're false. But you still have to keep it together, and you can't go full partisan like that. Listen, we'll take your comments on that or anything else after the news break. And Neil McMahon standing by with the top of the hour news. The bottom of the hour news. When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. 803-0930, the number to call. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back to the program. Kevin Hardwick here sitting together with my therapeutic panel, Dr. Tim Callen, Bob and Susan Gregg. Maybe they're the ones who doctor can give the therapy to. I don't know about that. Anyway, we are kind of debriefing. We're coming down from the week that was. We're looking forward to the week that will be and the 4 weeks that will be, because 4 weeks from Tuesday are the midterm elections. And, you know, elections, as we said, have consequences. And these are the first big elections since the 2016 elections on the national level. We'll see what happens. Let's go to the phones. 803-0930, the number to call if you want to get on board. 803-0930. Let's go first to Frank in Holland. Frank, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, sir, and appreciate the show this morning.
Well, you're welcome. I hope it's helping.
It is. It's enlightening to hear some of the different opinions. but everybody has one, and I'd like to add mine in regards
please,
to another thing.
Please do.
It seems very politically timed, strategically timed, and it seems to me that if the precedent is going to be set in such a crucial matter that the FBI is just going to be pull the trigger and do an investigation, it needs to be done for across the board, not just for a crucial position of the Supreme Court nominees, but how about charges, uncorroborated charges of misconduct of senators, of legislators, mm-hmm. of presidents, of any 30 years in the past, uncorroborated, even by her own witnesses, have the FBI investigate that. I think that that would be a great job creator because 30 years worth, uncorroborated, and an FBI just pull the trigger and do that because, you know, oops, it's a political matter. You know, let's start looking at the Clintons. Let's start looking at the Obamas, the Bushes, the all of them. I mean, let's face it. In 30 years ago, were we all the same people? And if the FBI is going to be used as a political, you know, weapon like this, by all means, it better be even across the board. So that's my point about all this, you know.
Frank, let me ask you a question. Do you think that when you mentioned President Clinton, I mean, you mentioned the Clintons, but let's talk about President Clinton. When similar allegations were made against President Clinton, do you think that they got their due? Do you think that they should have been pursued more vigorously?
I think that with the political climate that aimed the political tool, I think, yes, they did. And I think the only reason that they might have, you know, and again, it's all my only personal opinion, the only reason the both of them, Hillary and Bill, got away with all the things they did is because, yes, they were president, and yes, they had dirt on near everybody, not just in the Congress, but on the globe, mm-hmm. and in the position they're at. That's why they got away with it. I mean, we see people get away with murder, you know, O.J. Simpson, things like that, everybody... Just because of the wealth, of the power, the political connections, you know, our system is the best in the world. It's not perfect, but if we're going to set the precedent that the FBI is going to be used as a political weapon against adversaries, mm-hmm. it needs to be across the board and even. And you know what? There's a lot more than uncorroborated things against other politicians out there.
Very good. Frank, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in this morning. Well, you know, Frank brings up, again, other people with this look into Judge Kavanaugh, well, now Justice Kavanaugh's past have said, well, what about, you know, what about the Clintons? What about this? What about that? I mean, there is a point to be made there someplace. I'm not sure I would take it as far as he did and talk about the FBI used as a political weapon because, I mean, the FBI agents, for their part, were just doing their job in this case, Tim. But should more, you know, should we or should the media have taken more seriously in years past allegations of this sort of conduct against other people, specifically those on the other side of the political aisle?
Well, I mean, there's a reason the media is called the fourth branch of government. I mean, the Me Too movement was spurred by mm-hmm. Ronan Farrow and the articles that he and Jane Meyer did. I mean, you have this whole mass movement in this country that has spread to other nations around the world of prominent business people, media tycoons, politicians, elected officials
yeah.
who are having to leave their positions sometimes decades after the allegations or events happened because people are coming forward and reporters, journalists are investigating. I mean, the Kavanaugh matter, let's be clear, was not an investigation. It was an FBI background check process that was being done. It was limited in scope. And I'm not trying to dispute the caller's view that sometimes things get politicized. I'm not saying the FBI is politicized, yep. but – that you know, there's a perception out there in the public that certain people,
Republicans will tell you it was, you know, he'd already passed six checks. There was no reason to do that. They didn't want to do it. Democrats will say, you know, it didn't go far enough. It was a sham. In the end, what we got was another look. I mean, from my point of view, I think it was good that they did hit pause. I'm glad that Senator Flake brought that about and demanded that as a condition of his support. you know, and I think especially it was important that you have the FBI interview someone like Mark Judge, one of the other guy in the room. You know, it didn't go further, much further than that, and people on both sides
and
aren't going to be happy.
Didn't interview Judge Kavanaugh and didn't interview Dr. Ford.
Yeah, I've heard that, but you know, Kavanaugh and Ford already had said about what else would they have said? I'm not sure.
That too, I don't know.
I heard that too.
But
and then after the investigation, the senator from California said it wasn't enough. We need more.
Yeah.
Just when does it stop and we make a judgment?
Okay. Yeah,
that's the point.
I would have liked to have seen a few more witnesses. However, in the end, given what apparently the FBI was able to get from those additional witnesses that they did talk to, sounds from everybody that it ended up being, you know, your classic he said she said.
Sure.
And you know.
I don't disagree. And for me, separate from the serious allegations against the judge, for me the bigger concern, in addition to his temperament. And his tone mm-hmm. that we talked about a little bit earlier at the hearing was he testified that he didn't black out, he had never mm-hmm. been, you know, falling down drunk. This was not a pattern. He said, "I like beer," but he clearly stated he didn't have a problem with alcohol back in his youth. And again, I know we're talking about things from 30
yeah.
years ago, but when you testify under oath for a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land. That you've never done certain things, and then all these other people that were classmates, lived in the dorm with him, roommates, other people are saying, well, wait a minute, that wasn't the Mark Kavanaugh I knew when he was 19.
And that's why I say I would have liked to
that's
have,
a concern.
I would have liked the FBI to interview a few of them. But in the end, even if they did, contradict what he said, in terms of the original allegation, the sexual assault allegation, it still would have come down to he said, she said.
Well,
let's squeeze in one more phone call at 803-0930 before the break, and then we'll take some after the break. Bob in Buffalo, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I also heard Dianne Feinstein had a spy from China that was driving her around. But to get to the point, the State of the Union, I noticed there were a bunch of empty seats, especially Supreme Court justices who couldn't have been bothered to show up to see the president speak. Not that it's neither here nor there, but, you know, for a job interview, there was an awful lot of things said that were nasty slander, called evil, said that if he was put on the Supreme Court, people would die. I thought that was slander. And in the private industry, you would sue that person for making those type of statements. And I just point out two quick things. Anthony Capozzi went to prison for 20 years because there were people that said that he raped them. And then later on we found out that he didn't do it. And then you had Martha Stewart who lied to the FBI and went to prison. My question is somebody, because somebody has lied, are they going to go to prison for perjury over what has been said? Because there seems to be an awful lot of allegations that have come out from the boyfriend over, an FBI agent living with her talking about lie detector tests and how to take them, so on and so forth. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to the response.
Oh, okay, we'll have a quick discussion about that, Bob, before the break. We're a little bit long for the break, but we'll take it another minute or two. Tim, do you really think that either side wants to take this any further and go after, you know, again, it's a he said, she said, and there are probably other he said, she said's out there, and they said. I think everybody's ready to move on.
I think
if you get bogged down in this, worse, you don't know what could happen, and it could boomerang on you if you start further investigation. I think Republicans are happy to move on. They got what they wanted.
I think you're right. The Federalist Society tweeted either this morning or last night that somebody should file defamation lawsuits against the Washington Post and Dr. Ford. And somebody from the progressive world said, we would love for you to bring that lawsuit.
Because then you have full discovery, full investigations.
People are brought in under oath. And
Alan Dershowitz said the same
thing. Sue, are you ready to move on?
I'm ready to move on, but I think it should be pointed out that people have to think before they accuse people of something. To be accused of something that you didn't do and be basically defenseless is an awkward, awful situation to be put in.
But the counterpoint, isn't it, that I'm sure that Dr. Ford did think. It sounds
absolutely
sounds
something
she
happened.
Did think quite
something happened.
Quite long. Now, whether it happened or not, again, it's your classic. He said, she said. Mm-hmm. Much like again, you go back to '91 and Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill. I'm still not sure how I sort that one out. I mean, you know, all these years later, you really don't know. Anyway. One thing we do know is we're long for a break. Scott Miller is about to throw something at me from the booth. So let's take that break. When we come back, maybe we'll get to more of your calls if you want to get in line. 803-0930, 803-0930. One more segment to go here. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back. One final segment of Hardline. Kevin Hardwick here, sitting around the table with Dr. Tim Callen, Bob Gregg, and Susan Gregg. Talking about everything that's gone on for the last couple months with this confirmation hearing, its conclusion being reached yesterday. Of course, the midterms coming up, I'm sure its effect will be felt there, whatever it is. But, you know, panel, it's had an impact on the country. I think everything we've gone through has had an impact on the country. I mean, we were already a very polarized nation. Just the fact that Kavanaugh was appointed and we had all these demonstrations and everything before anything happened, you know, made us more polarized. The sexual assault allegations and the FBI investigation and whether they should or whether they shouldn't, has even made us more polarized. And I think we see this in the workplace. We see it, many of us, in our families. And I guess, my question as we go around the room, is there any hope, for healing or coming back together as a nation, Tim?
You know, we were talking about that during the break, and this country has been through traumatic and massive upheavals before. The Civil War, Vietnam, you know, several world wars, the civil rights struggle, Reconstruction in the South. I mean, there's been no shortage of crises in this country that we've always seemed to get through. Has it taken longer than we'd like for people to move on and forgive and forget or move past it and come together? So I want to be optimistic about moving forward. That, you know, after some passage of time, people can come together. But it's a legitimate question, Kevin. On, you know, I'm in situations myself in my personal life where you can barely talk with certain people about politics anymore because it's just such a heated issue. And when it's difficult to talk about these issues with family and friends, sometimes, how do we bring back society and government and the elected officials that represent us to work together? I think it can be done. It's been done before. We've succeeded in moving on before. But it's a real concern for me. I don't have an answer.
Bob?
Yeah, well, you know, talk about worlds collide. You know, being an artist, I hang around groups that seem to be a little liberal, and I'm perceived as being conservative. And if I'm working in my studio or somewhere and I just want to hear some political news, I'll turn on Rush Limbaugh, and people would just, like, chastise me just for listening. And, you know, we try to be civil, and I just say, I want to listen to the news. I want to know what's going on. What do we want to talk about? I think that if we remain civil and we talk about the issues and work our way out, I think we do have hope, because just like Tim said, you know, we've gone through, I've been through Vietnam, I've been through the civil rights issues, okay, and I know we can get together. And I think it's going to take a little bit more healing, because a lot of people are very upset of what happened with the Kavanaugh, as they say, the Kavanaugh effect on politics. I think things will heal after a while, and we'll move on to our next crisis.
The question is, have these things ever healed? I mean, to some extent, maybe we never got over civil rights and we never got over Vietnam, and there are things percolating under the surface that, you know, come out at moments like this. But I agree, there's, you know, somehow we got to get back to civility, and probably the most civil person I know is Sue Gregg. So how do we do it, Sue, or is it going to happen?
I think it has to happen. I think people have to learn to respect one another and listen to everyone's opinion. When you sit there and you're told blatantly that your opinion is wrong, I've always been a firm believer is an opinion isn't wrong. An opinion is purely your opinion. But I've lost a lot of good friends because they're very liberal, and therefore I'm wrong. And of course they're wrong because I'm not liberal. And it works both ways. But you have to just, in the office, I hear all one side, and I walk across the aisle, and I hear all the other side, and God forbid you meet. There's got to be a way to meet. There's got to be a way to sit down and talk, and once again, respect the other opinion and discuss it, not get crazy about it.
Time to squeeze in one final call. We go to Dennis in East Aurora. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to let your listeners know that there's a YouTube video kicking around that demonstrates exactly what the Democrats did to Kavanaugh, and it's Nancy Pelosi, and she calls it the wrap-up smear. And it lays it out exactly how they make these accusations against people, the media parrots it, and then the Democrats, you know, they use the parroting in the media as validation of their unfounded acclamations or what have you. And it's disgusting how she just lays it out with no...
Sure. You know, Dennis, we were having a similar discussion during the break in the studio here. Do you think, though, that the media are just an extension of what goes on in society? And now you have the conservative media, and then you have the liberal media, and you know, some on the liberal side would accuse Fox News of doing the same thing. On the other side, obviously,
I definitely think they're tools of the political parties and. Mm-hmm. The only way to maybe get the whole story is that you got to listen to both. I know it's painful to listen, you know, me being a Republican, it's painful to listen to the other side.
Absolutely, and I think those are words of wisdom, and I'm gonna leave it at that. Thank you, Dennis, for calling in. And Dennis is right. You got to listen to both sides. I mean, that is one of the things we try to do in this program. I've got Tim Callen sitting across from me. I'm a Republican. He's a Democrat. The Gregs are ridiculous conservatives. And Tim is sitting here, and we're having a nice civil conversation. And there's not enough of that goes on. And you were talking during the break, Tim, about the moderates. Where are what happens to the moderates?
Right. It the Kavanaugh issue, and just more generally where politics has gone in the last 2 years in this country. It worries me greatly as a political scientist and with an academic background who works in government. We need people who are in the middle, because you'll always have people that are liberal. You'll always have people that are conservative. Often how you get government politics done is in the middle by compromise.
But they have to get out of their echo chambers.
Right.
I mean, Dennis brings up a good point about the media on the one side helping out the Democrats, but the media on the other side, a different outlet, helps the Republicans. And if we all retreat to hear the views we want to hear and have them reinforced, we can go to Fox News or we can go to MSNBC. But there's got to be a meeting place in the middle.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.